So our presentation today is Perfectly Imperfect by Reverend Matt Aspin. We live in a society that worships perfection, but a church built around an altar of perfection creates nothing more than a big empty house.
Thank you, Barb.
Good morning, everyone. I always love when the place is full and then the kids leave and then there's a lot of spaces missing, because then it feels like we're a very full community and we have a lot of kids, so that makes me happy. Back in the late 60s, the founding members of Prairie, this organization, worked together to craft a bond of union that would help to describe Prairie's reasons for existence. One of the lines in that document states, "Together, we would expand our intellectual horizons, enrich our sensory experiences, and deepen our emotional sensitivities." I spent a lot of time reflecting on this community's foundational documents and contemplating how their guidance informs our current decisions. When a member responded to last week's sermon with a note that they'd appreciate more opportunity to discuss the Greek concepts of love in a small group, it reminds me that there will always be a thirst in this community for more opportunities to expand our intellectual horizons. But March's theme is vulnerability, which to me feels like a direct route to that deepening our emotional sensitivities aspect of this community's stated purposes. Now don't worry, especially Rick, don't worry about this. If last month's theme of love and this month's theme of vulnerability just seem too soft for you, next month we're going to be transitioning to resistance, which is a real UU sounding kind of thing, all right? But believe it or not, love and vulnerability are actually incredibly deep sources of power. So that's where we're going to spend our time this week, exploring the soft power that is available through the practice of vulnerability. As human beings, especially human beings raised in this current society, we are programmed to display an aura of strength and self-sufficiency. We try to avoid showing even the faintest hint of weakness, believing that it is a sign of failure or inadequacy. However, we all know the truth is vulnerability is an essential part of the human experience. I'm sure many of you have listened to Brené Brown, who's popular on the lecture circuit, advocating for an increase in personal vulnerability as a path towards self-improvement, right? I'd actually take this a step further and posit that fear of vulnerability may actually be the primary source of all the societal challenges we are currently facing in this moment in our collective history. Consider for a moment, if you will, our hardwired response to the standard opening question, "How are you doing today?" You know what it is. "I'm fine. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?" "I'm fine. How are you doing?" "Good, good, I'm fine." You know that's the answer. That's what we're looking for. That's what we expect. That standard greeting in our society is literally designed to keep us separate and isolated. Think about that, right? That's what we expect. We expect, if I asked you how you're doing, I expect you to throw up a wall and not share anything because I don't want to be bothered with it. Let's unpack that for a minute. If you're fine, then you don't need anything from me. And thank goodness for that. I can go on about my day and keep worrying about my own struggles. Whew, so much more efficient than dealing with the actual messiness that's part and parcel of the human condition. If our neighbor says they're doing great and we're only doing good, then our minds immediately note that they are doing better than us. How can I have the empathy required to see my neighbor as fully human and in need of my support if I sense that they're doing better than me. And even if they're not doing better than me, surely though they don't need my help, because they're doing fine. They're fine. They don't need anything. I don't need anything. I'm fine. All is well. Sure. We're all doing fine, right? None of us is worried about losing a job. None of us is worried about doing enough, if we're doing enough, is to be the best parents we can to our children. None of us is worried that we're pretty enough or strong enough or witty enough to be accepted. None of us is worried that our bodies are aging and wondering which part is going to break down next. Nobody's worried about that. None of us is struggling with mental illness, with bouts of depression and anxiety that can spring up unexpectedly at any moment and make just getting out of bed feel like a monumental task. None of us is surely burdened with the existential concerns about gun violence or climate change or the threat of an escalating war in Ukraine. Surely none of us is worried that the world is changing at a faster pace than we feel able to keep up with. We're all just fine, right? Fine is not a source of collective power. In fact, I think we're fine is a path to collective demise. The only way we can empathize with another at a level that has any chance of pulling us up from our self-directed, self-soothing, self-prioritizing tendencies is to recognize that we need the support of our fellow travelers, and that our fellow travelers are just as in need of our support as we are of theirs. The idea of our shared humanity is at the heart of the best parts of our young experiment in the idea of democracy. And the erosion of this idea of common shared struggle is being proposed as it being at the heart of our collective troubles. You know who we believe to be especially fine? Anybody that holds a belief that is counter to ours. If we hear somebody say, "I have the right to bear arms," many of us might immediately react in opposition to their strong statement. But imagine how different the conversation might be if that same person instead led with, "I live in a very isolated area. It would take the police 30 minutes to get to my house in case of an emergency. And I was the victim of a horrible violent crime when I was younger. Having a gun in my home is the only thing that helps me to feel safe." Now, I acknowledge we might still disagree with this person's chosen solution to their expressed challenge. But do you see now, all of a sudden, instead of being an inhuman slogan that we can try to hammer with our well-thought-out counter-opinions, all of a sudden we're dealing with a real human with reasonable fears based on their lived experience. The conversation is very different if you are focused on supporting another's vulnerabilities rather than on just winning the argument. Now, let's be clear. I'm not saying that being vulnerable is easy. It is not, especially in this society. But luckily, being a part of this community is like the perfect training ground for expanding our capacities to be vulnerable. As I've shared over the past years, a community like this has the potential to be the source of all the societal changes we collectively hope for. A society that is more supportive of human needs is made up of communities that are more supportive of human needs. And I think this community is actually better than most I've found at supporting the human needs of its members. A key ingredient of vulnerability, that ground that allows us to be vulnerable, is a sense of safety. If we don't feel safe, it becomes incredibly difficult to be vulnerable. No vulnerability, no empathy. No empathy, no shared society. As my Buddhist friends might say, no mud, no lotus. If you want to know how to expand trust in a community, ask folks that have been in this community for a long time. And don't worry, someone like that should be very easy to find because of how well this community has done that over these years. There's plenty of folks here that can share with you their decades-long journey regarding how Prairie has provided a safe container for their spiritual growth. I see the vulnerability between the relationships that have been here for a long time. There is a deep, abiding love, and it is palpable. This is the kind of trust that is built up over lifetimes spent raising kids together and raising money to pay for a roof or a new building, or making sandwiches together, or making music, or sharing stories, or sharing meals, or making art. I think making art together is one of the most vulnerable things you can do because it's going to be judged, right? We make art together. It's a practice. You may not realize it, but it's the little things, like offering or bidding on an item in the auction, that leads to a shared commitment over time. It's the commitment to keep showing up to do this work, this type of work, that builds trust, little by little, brick by brick. It's seeing over and over and over again that this community shows up to take care of its members that are struggling, that provides us the peace of mind on our sunny days, that we will not end up cold and alone when life inevitably extends us a batch of rainy days. I think one of the reasons this community is able to create this trust is that our faith tradition is grounded in a concept that we literally acknowledge that we may be wrong. And we are committed to continually challenging ourselves to consider that we may need to change even some of our fundamental beliefs if we're presented with evidence that counters what we think we believe. A willingness to admit that we might have been wrong is a foundation of our Unitarian Universalist faith. Talk about a setup for vulnerability. When we say that Unitarian Universalism is a living tradition, and that we place the burden of determining what is true and meaningful upon the shoulders of each individual, it means that we are a part of a tradition that is vulnerable enough to admit, through the generations, that we know that the beliefs that we hold true today will very likely be shown to be lacking in some important perspective tomorrow. The fact that we're willing to consistently examine our beliefs, even our most closely held beliefs, is actually central to our theology. Do you know the history of that bond of union that Prairie put together? The original draft was sourced from a document created at the turn of the 20th century, yes, 1900, not 2000, from First U Madison. And it included a lot of highfalutin words, which some of which sound kind of outdated, like brotherhood. The history of this place notes that in the first draft of your bylaws, Article 2 of your bylaws noted that the bond of union was in the process of being discussed and would be finalized by the following year at the parish meeting. This sounds very similar to what is happening on the national stage between all the members of the congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association. And believe me, those are some vulnerable conversations. That type of vulnerability, the idea that we might not know it all, is literally written into the DNA of this place. Many in this room and online would label themselves as free-thinking humanists, which reminds me that we are currently on the third revision of the Humanist Manifesto. We say that revelation is not sealed. That's what that means. We are constantly looking at our stuff, looking at our beliefs, and we are willing to be vulnerable enough to say, I might be wrong. I thought I was right. I might be wrong. I wonder if we give ourselves enough credit sometimes for the incredible courage it takes to align ourselves with a faith that doesn't promise easy answers. One of the current challenges we are wrestling with in our faith is in ensuring that the sense of safety that is required to reach that level of vulnerability, where genuine communal love and empathy and support is available for all, especially those that hold marginalized identities. This discussion requires an incredible amount of vulnerability, because of those of us that hold power in the society are being asked once again to examine our ways of being to ensure our actions are as inclusive as we are sure they must be. You hear me frequently hold up our covenants as the mechanism that ensures we are maintaining a container that is safe enough for all of us to share our vulnerabilities. As a minister, I have the sincere honor of being one of the few spaces that some occasionally feel safe enough to share their deepest vulnerabilities with. I can usually see it coming, because anytime someone is about to share something really tender, there is almost always a great deal of prefacing and hesitation. I do my best in these moments to ensure that all of my words and actions suggest openness, safety, and calm. And I suppose our work as a community is continually expanding this safe feeling to everybody that enters our space here. We have a lot of new visitors. Do you remember when you've been new in a space? You don't know the norms. You don't know the people. You don't know how you're supposed to act. Everybody that takes the risk to come to a place like this is looking for those safe places where they can start to practice and start to feel more connected and start to take some of those risks that it takes to live in life. Newly forming Covenant Group had its second meeting last week, is in the formative stages of creating this container of trust. I'm proud of the folks that have signed up for this journey, because they're already beginning to share vulnerably. The stage has been set, and the actors are beginning to practice together. And if we do this well, another section of that web that makes up this community will be strengthened and renewed. Ever widening the circle, ever strengthening the bonds, that's what is needed. So that all sounds lovely. How do we do this? How do we continue to practice vulnerability in this community? I've actually already shared the equation. It comes down to leading with what we're feeling instead of the more comfortable expression of what we think. I think this direction is wrong because it leads to a very different conversation than, you know, I have to say, the proposed direction we are considering scares me because, you see the little subtle difference there? This is what I'm struggling with this, as opposed to, here's what I believe about this, right? It's a very different opening for a conversation. One of the more powerful exercises I participated during my seminary formation began with each of us writing down something that we were deeply struggling with. In a class of about 20 people, there were about 20 different struggles listed. Relationship issues, family issues, health issues, money issues, you can imagine. And through a series of facilitated steps, we each dug into this challenge to get to the core of what the real issue was. And every single person in that room, all 20 of us, ended up realizing that the foundation of our huge, existential, unique personal challenge was really grounded in one of just a handful of options. The source of our challenge was either a need to feel loved, a need to feel safe, or a need to feel like we were adding some value to the world. That's it. So know that. It's incredibly powerful. No matter what you're arguing with someone about, underneath the veneer of their statement is very likely a deeper need. And it is very likely, in many instances, the same need that you believe will be addressed if only they would see the logic of your proposal. I'll repeat something that I offered last week. The idea that one of our biggest challenges as humans is that we spend all of our time comparing our inner selves to to everybody else's outer selves. Try to remember this as you are struggling with whatever challenges are emerging in your lives these days. Life can be hard enough on its own, without the added struggle of trying to maintain a false shield of invincibility to show the world. If you're feeling strong, strive to hold off on expressing your opinion. Seek to create enough space around you for another's fears to actually emerge. You may be surprised at what you learn. And if you're not feeling strong, I'd encourage you to take whatever for you feels like the most vulnerable step you can. Lead with how you're actually feeling about things. This should be a safe place to do that. And if it doesn't feel safe, maybe that's the vulnerable risk. Let somebody know that it's not feeling safe to share what's on your heart at this moment and see if that opens up or creates an opening. For this community to be living up to the ideals described in our bond of union, the bottom line is we have to be willing to be perfectly imperfect together. May it be so.
Thank you.
I just want to respond to that real quickly, because I think it tees up a very important thing, especially for our visitors and our newcomers, and for the people that have been here for a long time. Folks that are part of an established community, especially a community like Unitarian Universalists that's pulled together with a lot of people that are thinkers and debaters and arguers like that, it can be really intimidating. And so the vulnerability that I'm going to share for our newcomers is that I am also intimidated. It is scary to like throw your ideas out to this group because people will come and say, but I feel confident in it because I feel safe that we ground ourselves in covenant, and if there is an issue or if there's a hurt or now, I know that there's a way for me to come back and say, that didn't feel good, can we try that again? So we're all vulnerable.